Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome to Wildcast Studios for the off-season episode, part two of the Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats, presented by Alpha's Appliance Solutions, the premier destination for appliance and storage solution in Moncton. Right now, they got the KitchenAid Spring Into Savings event. Save $200 when you purchase any two qualifying KitchenAid freestanding appliances. Save $300 when you purchase any three, $400 on any four. Qualifying purchases must be made in-store from now till May 29th. As always, Fanisters, I am your host, Adam Lund. I am joined by your favorite co-hoster, still Mr. Big Brother aficionado. What's up, brother? Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
What's up, brother? Special teams, special plays, special players.
I know you've been waiting for that. I just can't. He annoys me. Like, you send me stuff, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm watching.
He's just, if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, so on TikTok, a guy named Sketch is literally taking over the world with his one-liners, and I wouldn't be surprised. You know, we walk into the draft, and if I go like, "What's up, brother?" to a bunch of people, they know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's a trend on TikTok. Go to your husband or your boyfriend and say, "What's up, brother?" with one finger, and they'll know. And I'm just like, I don't know how these people, and I saw that trend before you told me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even know what's happening right here. And I'm on TikTok and I go, I hate it here. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Buddy, it felt so weird not to have you here last week as we're in our off season every 2 weeks.
Yep.
I'm glad to have you back in studio. It looks like you're full on Blue Jays.
Yep.
I'm fully invested in the Oilers playoff run that starts, as of Monday night. So hopefully we're up 1-0, which if Dallas and Edmonton win game one at home, by the time you hear this, it'll be the first time in, I think, like 20, 25 years, all 16 home teams in the NBA and the NHL have won game one.
Yeah. No, it's good to be back. You know, it's still sucks that, you know, we're in an off season and, but it's just the way it is, you know, that we didn't get things didn't go as planned, but, you know, I'm here and I can do it with a broken heart.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it is.
I know it's too long. We should be still in our sweaters, hoodies,
yes,
with some air conditioning going so we don't die down here. But, like I said, it's been a fortnight.
Yes, it has. Yeah.
Is Bailey still in the Big Brother house? And are you still watching Big Brother Canada to update all our wonderful fan listeners?
So Bailey is absolutely still in Big Brother house. I am no longer watching Big Brother Canada. I actually haven't watched an episode since I explained what happened to Vivek 2 weeks ago. I'm still very bitter at how he was evicted. It was so high school. Just a very amateur move. And I've more or less given up on the show.
Which is just like 7 years we've been coming here.
Mm-hmm.
And in the springtime, and then usually it's twice a year, right? I think it's twice
there's
a year, like the winter one and then a summer one.
Yeah, because the Big Brother USA is in the summer.
Yeah.
And the Big Brother Canada one is in the winter.
Yeah.
Which
and just like
moves into the springtime.
To not, for you not to have an update is just, it's so weird to me. Any other shows that you've been crushing?
A lot of MasterChef Canada. Not MasterChef Canada. Next Level Chef.
Next Level Chef, yeah.
Watched that pretty religiously. The Rookie, which is back on TV. 911, which is back on TV.
Yeah.
There's Tracker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Tracker.
My wife watches that, yeah.
Yeah. And that's Shark Tank, Dragon's Den.
Yeah, we watched, we finished Full Swing. Not what you're thinking. It's actually a golf show. Finished season two of that. We finally finished How to Get Away with Murder.
Full Swing. Okay. I get what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, you're sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know what? Full Swing would actually be a pretty good show if it was the other...
the other kind?
Yeah. But Daddy, I love him!
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's probably how that would go. Actually, it's probably more Step Daddy, but whatever. But yeah, we tried out the new barbecue, Korean barbecue place up by the Swingers Lounge, which again, it's not what you think. It's a golf golf lounge there on Old Shediac Road. Had I had the honey garlic, obviously. Yeah. They have a little bit of a kick
spicy?
To them.
Did you get the spicy one?
No. I can't afford it. Eating those honey garlic had a little bit of a heat to them.
Yeah.
And I was, my nose was, but they have these cheeseling fries, which are fries and they're coated in mascarpone and cheddar cheese. Oh, you can get the wings in those or the fries. So I can't remember what kind Layla got, but yeah, no, it was barbecue Moncton on Harrisville Boulevard there by Harrisville Dental. Fantastic place to eat. The guy, we were like, so you've been quite busy. He's like, yeah, I bought like 8 packs of chicken wings, and then I had to go get 6 more packs of chicken wings because he's just selling it out. So, yeah, that's where we are. I got my golf membership. I'm ready for the summer. Did some yard work. Just about died the next day when I woke up. And, yeah, I'm in the mode to have my pregame naps before there the Oilers start their hockey games at 11 a frickin' clock.
My pregame nap will consist of not waking up until the following morning.
To go, ha, 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 or, oh, no. Are you going to watch the Cup? So you had, I think you had Carolina and the Oilers.
Yeah.
I had the Devils and the Oilers.
Yeah.
So I'm already out, but doesn't matter who the other team is as long as the Oilers get there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been watching it? Are you going to stay tuned to
it? You know what? I watched it pretty religiously on Saturday.
Yeah.
Sunday. Or I didn't get to the late game on Sunday, obviously. Reasons.
Obviously, yeah.
But no, I've done pretty good. There's been a lot of hockey over the past 2 weeks. A lot of Taylor Swift. you know, her new
you
album.
You don't say.
Her new album, The Tortured Poets Department. I've been hyping it up for about 2 months now, and it was released.
So how excited were you with the double album?
I was shocked. I was surprised, you know, because you set your alarm for midnight on, you know, Saturday morning just to hear, you know, the Fortnite song featuring Post Malone, only to open your Apple Music and there's 31 songs, right?
Guy doesn't stay up for a Flames game if it was the Stanley Cup final, but gets the alarm for Taylor Swift.
That was more of a Megan thing.
Oh, okay.
But you know, you literally, it was, I was expecting one song and you end up with 31, and you know, once that happens, it's hard to fall back asleep when you can just go and, well, you know, the album helped me fall back asleep, which was nice. And, I know it's early. I know it's only April, but, mark my words, album of the year. it's getting up there. I can't see anyone coming close to smash on the records this one's gonna do.
No, and I mean 31 songs is easy to write when you're in an airplane for what, 2.5 years, and you got downtime and stuff. It's, again, not a Swiftie at all. I listen to the songs that are on Taylor Swift radio on Sirius XM right now, hashtag not a sponsor, channel 13. But if she wants me to be a Swiftie and my daughter's trying to convert me to be a Swiftie, there's only one thing she can do, and that's take down Ticketmaster. When she takes down Ticketmaster and all the bots, then we've got a shot. I will start being a Swiftie before we get into the rest of the show, because I got to get to bed and pregame nap. The Jays, how you feeling early on? Are they right where you thought they'd be? Are they exceeding expectations? There's a wait and see.
It's so far. Some people will disagree with me, but I think they've exceeded expectations. You know, they've won the past three series. Whereas, you know, they get up the first couple wins and they just can't get the sweep. So they're getting the job done. You know, if you've got 3-game series and you win 2 out of 3, you've got a pretty good chance of, you know, getting into that extra game. Come October, I think you're also going to need to get a few sweeps here to make some noise. So, but in terms of, you know, they had no Danny Jensen, they had no Jordan Romano, and now that they're back, it's kind of full steam ahead.
Yeah, I'm just hoping they go into a game. Gonna get myself a Berrios jersey. Barrios, whatever. Same thing. Yeah, going to that game. I think it's against Boston.
Nice.
So first 10,000 fans get a free jersey. So I am going to get one of those. And who knows? Maybe I'll give it away on the show or just keep it or something. I don't know.
I'll do everything I can to win that contest.
All right. Don't forget, as always, you can follow us on all the social medias. Twitter, Moncton Wildcast, Instagram, Wildcast Podcast, TikTok, Wildcast Podcast. And of course, don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube. Click the little bell. You will be notified as we get closer to the draft, June 7th and 8th here in Moncton. We got some things planned for you. You'll find out about one of them here in a little bit. So yeah, let's get to some news notes from around the queue.
News and notes from around the queue.
So there's some news to get to in this city. We're not going to get to it in this segment because we're going to get to it in the next one because we're going to need some time for it. But we got some hardware to give away over the past 2 weeks. I finally picked an award winner. I picked the Offensive Rookie of the Year, Emile Guité.
There you go.
Of Chicoutimi. Again, like we said last week or 2 weeks ago, you couldn't have gone wrong with any of the selections. Whether it's Boyard, Guité, or our own Caleb Denoyer. Defensive Rookie of the Year was William Vanneau of the Armada. The Kevin Lowe Trophy for Best Defenseman, Mikael Diot of Drummondville. The Paul Dumont Trophy for Personality of the Year, no shock here, Jacob Newcomb and Emile Chouinard of Baie-Comeau and Cape Breton. The Mike Bossy Trophy for the Best Professional Prospect goes to Maxime Massé of Chicoutimi. And the Frank J. Selke Trophy for the most sportsmanlike goes to Preston Lounsbury of our Moncton Wildcats. And did you know, Jeremy, he is the fourth Moncton Wildcat to win that award? Now, can you name the other three?
Oh, my God. Peltz?
Yep, 2019-2020.
Okay, what is it? It's for sportsmanlike?
Yep.
Holy cripe. Jerome Sampson?
No.
How many years am I going back before Peltz?
1999-2000. Oh, and then 1997-98.
Kevin Glode?
No.
Carl Gagne?
No.
What? No idea.
Simon Laliberté, 97-98.
Right.
And not to be confused with Johnny Rocket. Jonathan Waugh in 99-2000.
Right.
And then, of course, Peltier in 19 and 20 season. Yeah. And, yeah, and then Preston, who obviously, yeah, he's pretty likable. And he's a nice kid. So we haven't had the Coach of the Year nominees or awards yet.
Dan LaCroix.
Barry's the lead. No, I'm assuming it's going to two of the nominees are going to be the top two teams. Sylvain Favreau of Drummondville. And Jean-François Gruyère of Baie-Comeau.
What'd you call him?
Jean-François Gruyère.
Oh, they said Gruyère.
No.
Like the cheese?
No, no. No. I probably butchered it, but whatever. The coach of Baie-Comeau.
Grégoire.
Yeah, Grégoire. That's what it is.
Grégoire.
I
like correcting your French.
The fans enjoy you correcting my French. It's only been 8 years, right, everyone? So who do you think should be the other one? Yannick Jean of Chicoutimi or Louis Robitaille of the Eagles?
Yeah, Louis Robitaille.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He turned that team around.
Yeah.
Now,
has he done enough? Because I was looking at the history of the awards to see if it was always just the team that was the top team. And it wasn't. I mean, Jim Holton won it twice, and I don't think they had, you know, top teams back-to-back years. Mm-hmm. One of them they were, but... it's not necessarily the top coach. And do you think he gets it over what Jean-François has done in Baie-Comeau?
I mean, that's just my opinion,
yeah.
Right? It's, you know,
I'm with
always,
you, by the way.
There's always politics involved in Coach of the Year. And, you know, in most cases, it's always the top coach.
Yeah.
So that would lead us to believe that it would be Jean-François Grégoire. But it's all three. All three could win it.
Yeah.
But I think Louis Robitaille, just based on what he's done to turn around the team and to motivate the team and kind of having them perform. I mean, it's the difference between what we saw from them in late September to now is hats off to him. Like that's all I have to say.
Yeah, he's got the same feeling as Rick Tocchet in Vancouver. Like, come in, completely change the culture.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a regular season award, and they didn't have, the best regular season, but they ended where they should have been, winning 9 in a row and getting set for the playoffs. And I know there might be some bias, but I think those are probably your three names. And, mm-hmm. Usually the GM of the year is the top GM that makes all the deals, so maybe Gregoire can win that, and then Louis Robitaille wins Coach of the Year. But I think what he's done for Cape Breton is definitely puts him up there. I wouldn't be surprised. If they go four, those are probably your four names for Coach of the Year. I can't think of any other ones.
Easily. Yeah, there's no other. I can't even think. Like, it's
maybe the guy in Victoriaville.
Rouen's not going to get it because they fired their coach and brought one in. Yeah. Victoriaville.
Potential.
Potentially. But I think those three guys are the obvious choices.
Yeah. Really hope that comes out with those three names and make us look really smart. Four Wildcats were named to the Central Scouting List. Gabe Smith, 94th overall for North American skaters. Sump, 200. And Mueller, 210. And Warren was 12th among North American goaltenders. And we talked about it. We put it into the universe. Caleb Denoyer was invited to the U18 roster. Mm-hmm. He'll be heading off to Finland.
He's already there.
He's already there, yeah. Quite a group. Like I said, Gavin McKenna. Was also named. They just announced four players. Jack Ivankovic, Mississauga, Morelli, Henry Muse of the 67s, Ollie Josephson, and Maxime Massé of the Chicoutimi Saguenays is there as well. They got a good shot. I mean,
I hope he gets playing time.
Yeah.
How many forwards is that?
It doesn't list forwards for me, but 13 forwards.
Okay, so he's going to play.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So, again, Gardner McDougall is the coach. Travis Crickard of St. John is the assistant coach. To watch those games, Canada finishes the pre-tournament April 25th against Sweden, and they'll play on the 26th against Czechia, Switzerland on the 28th, and Kazakhstan is nice on the April 30th. I get the clock radio. He get the clock radio.
You cannot afford.
Yeah, to close out the preliminary action, the semifinals are set for May 4th before the tournament concludes with the medal games on May 5th. Might want to pay attention to that date because I got some conspiracy theories in my brain. All those games are likely to be on TSN.
The Toronto Sports Network.
Yeah. All right. So we got some games to pick. We got some series to pick. I think you're still leading by one. I do believe. When I was calculating, I think you're still leading by one. So we've got... Now, I know that everything gets reseeded. You don't have to come at me, Cassandra and Robin and everyone else on Twitter. You don't have to come at me. But I do like that with the reseeding, we're getting an actual Western Conference final and an Eastern Conference final the way that shakes out. If you want to reseed the fourth round, just 1 through 16 for the whole stupid thing. Like, for me, I like Western Conference and Eastern Conference finals. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get on the old soapbox, but if you want to reseed at the fourth round, just go 1 versus 16 the whole way.
Yeah.
And go that way. So, Drummondville against Victoriaville. Both of these series have the two teams that I had going to the finals. So if you watched any of the episodes I had where we talked about these, you know my picks. I think it'll be Drummondville in six. This is a bit of a revenge game or revenge series for Victoriaville. They were knocked out in five last year in the first round when they were kind of poised to make a run last year. And Drummondville kind of surprised them, knocked them out. So Victoria will be... We'll be ready to go, but I just think Drummondville's depth overall, and they're on a mission to get there, and so I've got Drummondville in six.
I'm actually going to go the other way on this one.
What?
I'm going to go with Victoriaville, and I'm going to say Victoriaville in. I'll say it goes the distance, seven games. I think the goaltending is going to be a deciding factor in the series, and I'd rather have Darvaux on my team than Mercer. And at this point, I think Darvaux is kind of your – he's more I would have more faith in him in a game seven than I would Riley Mercer.
Yep.
So to the Volts, I say, so long, London.
Yeah. In one game showdown, I probably would have more faith in Dervo, but I don't want it to get to that one game showdown. So here's hoping. Again, I just hope we have something other than a sweep or five games that we've had a lot. And then we get to a bit of a shock of a series when this whole thing started. Baie-Comeau 8-0, Cape Breton 8-1. Both teams have not lost at home. Cape Breton only lost the one game on the road. 42 goals for, 19 against for Cape Breton, 37 and 18 for Baie-Comeau. I mean, this is shaping up to be a hell of a series.
It really is, yeah. I mean, these are two opposite teams. I mean, you look, Baie-Comeau has always been at the top of the league for the entire season. And just look at the Eagles. Like, this is a team that were, you know, they were down bad in early, you know, in the early, in probably the first half.
Yeah.
And then it just, to prove that you can make the right moves, just look no further than the Eagles. They made the right moves. They brought in the right guys, and they've completely turned their team around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very much looking forward to this series. A, because, well, we're still going to get some 7 o'clock starts.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Stay up for those ones.
Yeah.
Tough call. You'd love to see the Eagles kind of get to that final. I don't think they've ever been there.
They haven't been to the third round since 07.
Yeah. So I think you cheer for the Eagles to get there. But I think it stops here. I think Baie-Comeau 6. Baie-Comeau in 6.
Yeah.
Jacare.
Yeah, that's exactly what I have. Baie-Comeau in 6. First of all, for any business in Cape Breton, please just, you got some time. Please sponsor the whiteout.
Yeah.
Make shirts for everyone. Something. Like, I know that they're trying to do the whiteout, and they've got some flashes of it every now and again. Please, to a business, step up and get some shirts to make that whole... Like, they sold out in, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah, they did.
So that building is going to be packed. This is a sea of red versus a sea of white. It would be really cool if both teams kind of did that. But for a company in Cape Breton, please sponsor the shirts so that everybody has one inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see a... I mean, this is obviously going to be Baie-Comeau's toughest test. But I think the... If the Eagles can split in Baie-Comeau, I think that will do absolute wonders for the belief that they can
100%.
They can win the series. Not even just compete in it. I think win the series. Now, they lost 4-0 and 6-3. 4-0 at home, which I went back and kind of watched the highlights of it, and the barn is dressed like a seat night in Cape Breton there, like 1,600 people to where they are now. Full marks to that organization for turning it around by, I don't know, trying something new.
Yep.
Hey, we'll give you $3,000 if 300 or 3,000 people show up. Guess what? 3,000 people showed up. Mm-hmm. Guess what? The team started to win.
Yep.
And then the game in Baie-Comeau, they lost 6-3. They had that was the game where everybody had all their players on the roster. So Baie-Comeau still handled them, but regular season, Cape Breton, I think, 6 games later, went on that 9-0 run.
Yep.
So they hadn't quite hit their stride yet. I think this is going to be 6, and I think this is going to be 3-2, 4-2, 4-3, a 4-2 with an empty netter. But I think this is, you know, our friend Dave McKnight was excited for the second round, and it kind of dud, other than Saginaw and the Greyhounds. I think this shapes up to be probably the series in the CHL. If these teams both play at a level that they can play at.
Yeah, I agree. And to go back to what you said, I think it's if Cape Breton can go and win one of the games in Baie-Comeau, I think, you know, that's the manuscript, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what's on the bulletin board. That's the goal.
Yep.
Get your split. and come home on home ice and take control. I mean, I think if Cape Breton wins at least one in Bay Comeau, it's their series, and which is crazy to think.
Yeah,
it's but these are two very passionate fan bases, and the louder, the further the Jacar get in the playoffs, the more raucous of a crowd it's going to be.
Man, I can't.
And just get, you know, get your honk 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 honk. It's a lot of air horns up in Bay Comeau.
Yeah, this is two of the quite a set of fan bases that that deserve this. Speaking of all of that, we absolutely buried the fact that Pat McNeil may have been in one of the greatest videos on the internet. I mean, if Brad Chandler, if you're listening, the media guy up there, put that at the start of the video for when they come back. Just have that song where Pat walks out and then slow motion any other walkers, because that I Am a Real American in slow motion. I'd never heard that song before, but the fact that Pat was on that was unbelievable.
You never heard?
I heard I Am American, but I never heard it slowed down like that before.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I heard I Am an American, man. I watched wrestling in the 80s.
I know, I was going to say, like, what the hell?
No, that's, yeah, I was just, I mean, your tweet won the day.
That's true.
What was it again?
One of the odd times where you don't see Pat McNeil with a box of Mr. Puffs or a dipped cone.
Considering I actually said, are you going to Mr. Puffs? I don't even know where it is in Chicoutimi. And I gave him the address. He's like, why does it got to be so far away from the arena? I'm like, I don't know, man. Take a taxi. It's Mr. Puffs. Who gives a shit how far away it is? But yeah, so yeah, it's, I wish Cape Breton was closer. I really do.
That's what I mean. Like, if they can somehow make it to the finals, I mean, it'd be great to go there for a game and abuse our media pass one more time.
Yeah, we, yeah. But yeah, it's, yeah, I'm excited for it. Should be a good series. You want to talk to a guest, bro?
Yeah, let's, first-time guest.
First-time guest. Who doesn't love a first-time, first-time guest?
View from the other bench.
All right, so it's that time of year, time for a view from the other bench, and we've had these guys on for 3-4 seasons now. Usually it's Braden, but he's moved on to Bathurst. Boo. So we have brought on regional scout for Eastern Canada for Puck Preps, Austin Robinson. Austin, how are you?
Good, good. How are you guys?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for doing this. I guess we'll get started. A little quick one for you. What got you into the world of scouting hockey?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, this is my first year doing this, like, actually for a website and stuff. I've been doing it since like 2015 for like for fun, you know, like covering the NHL draft and Q stuff and whatnot. But this is my first year, so I could say I'm kind of like new into it. But yeah, I've been learning quite a bit and just hope to keep it going.
So how did you get associated with Puck Preps? Like, have you been in contact with them, or did they reach out to you once they kind of, I guess, saw what you were doing online with blogs or however you got it out there?
Honestly, they posted like a job position because Braden had obviously left.
Right.
So I just applied there. I sent in some like mock reports and whatnot, and they liked it and they gave me a shot, and it's been going well ever since. It's not really, you know, it's not really like deep story or anything. I just applied online.
And here I was, always wanted to be a scout, and I thought it was more, I thought it was a lot tougher than that, right? But I guess, no, the reason
just need social media.
Yeah, no, for sure. I guess the reason we got in the show is, you know, this weekend is the QMJHL Cup in Boisbriand, and I'm assuming, given your position, you will be attending. I guess what's your, looking at your rankings right now, you know, you get a top five of Tynan Lawrence, William Yared, Jaden Plouffe, Dylan Rousey, and Benjamin Kisset-Ayot. I guess what do you see in Tynan Lawrence that puts him at the top spot?
Tynan's awesome because he's one of those rare players that doesn't have like a lot of holes like in his game. Like, he's 15 and like he already plays like he's, you know, like he plays like he's doing your ready up ready. He's playing up a year right now in Shaddix, which speaks to his, like, you know, his maturity and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And the offense is, like, obviously there. Like, he attacks guys head on, not afraid, great hands, awesome shot. He just, like, the whole package. Wouldn't quite call him, like, dynamic in any sense, but he's just, like, he's a really complete player without, like, a ton of holes, which is why I have him up there. But he will actually not be attending the Q Cup. I'm not sure why. I don't think he has a lot of interest in playing in the Q. I know he tendered with Muskegon a couple months ago, so I don't think he'll be attending. He's not, like, on the rosters or anything.
No, yeah, we printed him out today because this is Jeremy's forte. The draft talk is where he shines, and I just grab his coattails and go along for the ride. But a couple names that I do kind of color for the Moncton Flyers, and a couple names that you have 13th and 14th back-to-back in your rankings, and I know Jeremy and Mike Sanderson, who I call the games with, basically have talked about these two players being back-to-back in the rankings. Jackson Batchelder and Jacob Gucci. One's kind of that smaller puck-moving defenseman. Jacob Gucci's 6 foot, 200
he's
pounds.
Huge, like, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big boy. And so just to kind of talk about those two, do you see those two kind of going back-to-back maybe in the draft? Or is it something where whichever player is what the team needs will likely go ahead of the other one?
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. I think Gucci, no, is it Gucci or Gucci? I think
Gucci.
It's Gucci.
Yeah, Gucci. We say Gucci around here,
Gucci's fine? Okay, cool. Yeah. No worries. I think Gucci is a guy that's probably going to go higher just based on the fact that he's more ready right now. Jackson, I think, has a bit more potential. With Jackson, I think he's probably the best skating defenseman, like, in the entire draft, right? And, like, the puck moving right now is a bit iffy, but he definitely has, like, the potential to be, like a top pairing, like, offensive defenseman. He just hasn't really put it all together yet. And it's weird because with Jackson, when I saw him at the Q Cup in October, I think it was, he was probably the best defenseman there. Like, he showed confidence, like, in both zones, offense, defense. And then when he went back to Charlottetown, he was kind of timid or, like, less confident. So that's kind of why, because I had him at 5 pretty early on. It just, like, I never saw that same guy. So I'm pretty stoked to see him again and see, like, how he does with, like, you know, kids his own age.
No, for sure. Like, and looking at your guys' list, I mean, it goes pretty far down. Like, you've got, I'm just, you know, scrolling through here, and you guys have, like, almost 100 players ranked or more.
We're
than
100
that.
Now, yeah.
100 players. 100. Yeah, that's, I guess if you look at your list of 100 and you see, is there a name that pops off the page that you think, okay, well, you know, maybe he's not going to be a top round guy, but it's someone that could be picked in the later rounds that could be, like, a very solid value pick down the roads?
The first name that comes to mind is Northern Moose defenseman Cameron LeBlanc. I really liked him over the past couple months, like, watching the playoffs and his play at the Moncktonian. The points aren't there yet for him, for someone who I see as, like, an offensive defenseman, but, like, you talk about, you know, having the tools to, like, do everything. He's definitely one of those guys, and I haven't seen him too high on a lot of, you know, public lists or anything. Mm-hmm. I think we have around 66, if I'm not mistaken, 65, but, like, he does have holes in his game that put him there. Like, I think the skating is a bit problematic right now, but if that part of his game picks up, then I see, like, a top four defenseman in the queue.
No, wicked, awesome. I guess I was expecting Adam to jump in on the question there, so I was.
I mean, I was. Well, I was gonna. I know that I always ask Braden this, and he never had an answer. But you guys don't kind of rate the goaltenders, eh? Like, just because they're so tough to rate them, or do you have a goaltender that you think could be, you know, kind of an under the radar type goalie, or maybe someone that you think may go high? I know you guys don't actually rank goaltenders. That's what I was trying to look at when Boucher was finishing up there, but do you have someone in mind that, you know, you think could be a top goaltender picked, maybe not in the first round, but maybe like a second, third round type goaltender?
I was actually thinking of doing a list in, like, May of like the top 10 goalies or something.
Yes.
Not Frank or something,
yes.
But I was thinking about it. Yeah.
Yes, as a former goaltender, yes. That's what
I was thinking about it.
I
yeah.
Because
I've seen quite a bit. Like, I don't think there's a guy this year who's going to go top 15 unless someone really needs one. Like, there's no like a LaSalle or
right,
anything
right. Yeah,
this
yeah,
year.
Yeah.
But a goalie I really like is Levy goaltender Antoine. What's the last name again? Prue, I think.
Yeah,
he's
Antoine
awesome.
Prue, right?
He,
yeah.
He's a bit. Like, I think he's small. He's like 5'10", 160 pounds. But when you talk about being, like, you know, athletic and being able to push off, I think he's up there. Like, he's awesome.
Yes, I 110% support your goaltending list if you put that out. Because
I was thinking about it for sure. If yeah. I have time. I like there's this kid. Who's he play for? Tri-Pen. Ackerman. Andrew Ackerman.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, yeah.
He's also a bit, I think he's 5'8 or something, but mm-hmm. that kid like steals games. I've seen him steal like 4 games this year. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. But also I think CSR had him like as an E prospect, so he probably won't go too high. But if I was making a goalie list, he'd probably be like 3rd or 4th. I love that kid.
I guess if you look at the playoffs in Quebec, the U18, I guess a player that really had a knock your socks off kind of playoff is Chad Legitsakos of Trois-Rivières. You have him 10th on your list. Do you legitimately see him as maybe going a lot higher in the draft based on his performance in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's funny with Chad because like he had a bit of a slow start to the year. Like he wasn't like I don't think he was like a top 5 player on his team, but like mm-hmm. after January he really kicked it off. Like at the end he had, I think the last 8 games of the regular season he had 18 points, 24 points in 15 playoff games. Yeah, like it's of course the size, he's 5'8", 160 pounds, that could deter some teams, but I can definitely see him rising up if he has like a great combine and whatnot for sure. Like I don't think he's stuck at 10. I think he's like probably one of the few guys that can like creep into the top 5 if he really dominates. But yeah, no, I've liked him quite a bit, actually.
And I guess on the there's a few guys that are kind of highly ranked that didn't necessarily play within their own jurisdiction this season, like you know Maddox, Desjardins, and Tristan Venn. And I know there was a goalie, a defenseman that was in Barrie.
Goupil, right?
Yeah, he's got like the longest name in the draft, and, so I can never remind him. Like, what's attracting these players to go outside of like I said, their jurisdiction? And do you think it's more of a competition, a competitive thing? And are they like are these legitimate prospects as well for the draft?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's a competition thing because I like in Ontario they're playing against guys their own age, like mm-hmm. Maddox had like 80 points in like 30 games, so I don't think it's exactly like a competition thing. I personally don't think he'd have those same stats if he played like midget triple A here, or even Ben too put up like 70 something points in 30 games, so I'm not sure if it's a competition thing. Would I think like it could be family based, just like it's based off where their family lives, but like I think Ben and Desjardins are both born in Quebec, so they're yeah. eligible. And they've decided to, but Desjardins is funny because he's not listed on the Q Cup rosters either. So we're, you know, not even sure if he's like actually coming to the draft. Ben, I think, has said like he's coming. So with Ben, it's a little different. But in terms of why they go there, it could just be like logistics because I certainly don't think it's competition based at all.
So when you're looking at some of these players, and like Jeremy said, you have about 100 on the website, and well, 10% of them are Halifax Max.
Yeah, there's so many of those guys.
That,
oh my God.
Does that make it easier to scout those 10 players, or does that make it a little bit more difficult? Because usually you go to a game, you're going to watch one, maybe two kids that you're putting on your list. You get to a Max game, or you're watching a Max game, and there's 10 of them that you have the possibility. Does that make it tougher, a little bit easier to scout a group like that? And I guess your thoughts on maybe that group in general.
Yeah, sure. Definitely makes it tougher because there's no way you can get like a good read on 10 guys in like the same game, right? You can't write like full-on reports about them.
Yeah,
and it's also harder for the guys who would be like top line players on like worst team because the Max were like really good, right? So say for a guy like who I like is Will Scherer. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't really playing a bunch, right, with the backs, but I think if he was playing on, say, like Sydney or any one of those teams, he would have been getting a lot more minutes. So it's hard to really gauge him and, you know, gauge those kind of guys. But in terms of the group as a whole, I'm like the biggest Walters fan out there. I love that kid. I think he's awesome. I kind of have him low right now, but after his play at the Atlantics, I'm going to bump him up pretty hard. I would have him as like a first rounder for right now, for sure. Chip struggled a bit at the Atlantics, but mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't put too much into that. I'm not sure if he was hurt or something, so I'd probably keep him around where like he is. Proctor was awesome too. I'm a big fan of his. He's probably like early second, late second for me. But yeah, it's weird to see a team with a lot of like high-end guys like that. Like no one top 10 or anything, but just like littered with second round guys. It's rare. And like you said, it definitely makes it harder, but I've had a good time watching them, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we can wrap it up there. I'll just have, do you have any other?
I'll have one more when you're done.
One more. Okay. I'll ask one more question. The draft lottery is on Thursday of this week. Let's just say the standings stay as is.
Right.
I guess who do you have? I believe it's Valdor. Who would you have Valdor taking first overall?
I've been thinking about this for like weeks, and I can honestly tell you I have no idea. I'll answer it. I'll answer your question. But I was trying to, because I think if they pick one, because if they stay the same, they have one and two,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I believe so. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so if I'm the GM, I probably go with something I know it's going to work, and I take Jared and Rozzi just because they play like on the same team and they show that they have chemistry, and they mm-hmm. they put up 40 plus points as 15 year olds playing like U18. I think that's the direction I would go, because you potentially have like two-thirds of your first line in the future there and your first two picks. I don't think that's a slam dunk or anything. Like that's the problem with this draft, is there's no like slam dunk pick with the mm-hmm. Tynan gone, so teams can go like anyway. Like I wouldn't even be shocked if like Chad goes first. Mm-hmm. Like at Zachos, like based off of the tournament he had or the playoffs he had. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think like if I had to pick based on like the totality of the season, it would be Jared and Rozzi for sure.
I guess just, we are a Moncton show, so right. We don't have a first round pick, but we do, as of right now, have, I think it's 2 seconds or a second and two.
Just
third.
1 second.
1 second. Mm-hmm. So, and I think we figured out it was like 33rd roughly or so.
Yep.
So in that second round, just for some of the fans, who's two names that they're two, maybe three names that they can kind of keep an eye on as we continue our draft preview coverage?
At 33, a player who I don't think will get there but might is Isaiah Rogerson. Like in terms of talent and skill set, he's probably top 10 like in the draft just based off the skating and hands, but he was on a really bad St. John's team throughout the
whole
year. Yeah. And you just saw him get like defeated throughout the year because they're getting beat like 9-1 every game, 8-2, and it was tough on him. So he's a player that didn't necessarily get better throughout the year, but like I would bet on like that package of skating and skill, because it's, you know, it's up there. So if he's there at 33, I definitely take a chance. And also at 33, who I think might be there, who I have at like 19, is Emilio Santini from the Lions. He's 5'8", 148 pounds, but he's lightning quick. Like I think he's probably the fastest skater in the entire draft. He can like push back the defenders with the puck. He can get on the forecheck. I think there's a problem with this like hockey IQ, which is a red flag, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you think like a guy like Carl Hagelin, he's kind of like that. So like he'd be a great third line player, and if he can pick it up in the second round, you know, why not?
Perfect, man. Well, we really appreciate all the insider. So where are you this week? Are you gonna be watching the Q Cup, or are you gonna be watching the Atlantics? Like, where's your time going to be divided here on this final couple weekends here?
Well, right now I'm covering the Telus Cup for Puck Preps.
Yeah.
The Q Cup starts Thursday. I'm going to go a couple of the days. I can't go every day. I have another job, you know, that doesn't exactly pay the bills. But
yeah, we get that.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to go a couple of days, cover the Telus Cup, and then I'll have my rankings out at the end of the month, too. I think we're going to expand to 120, so we'll have 20 new names.
Perfect, man. Well, if you're open to it, maybe closer to the draft, you want to do a mock draft with Jeremy? Because I'm no good at these. But yeah. Would you be open to doing a mock draft with Jeremy on one of our shows?
Yeah, 100%, man.
Just the first round. We're not going to do all 14 here.
Just the first round alternating alternating.
I can
picks.
Do like five if you want. I don't.
No,
we only got an hour episode. So.
Enough time for that.
We'll definitely get in touch with you a little bit before the draft. And are you coming to the draft in Moncton or no? I don't even know where you are.
I was thinking about it, actually, but it's like I checked. It's like an 8-hour drive or something, 9-hour drive for me. But I was thinking about it, actually. So I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, well, sounds good.
Just get in with somebody already coming out here and then split the gas there, man. So,
yeah.
But yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time on what's a busy weekend. And hopefully we'll be in touch with you in a couple weeks for a mock draft with Boucher.
Awesome, guys. Sounds good.
Yeah. Thanks, Austin.
All right, guys.
Yeah,
see ya.
Good to have Austin on. I'm just pumped. Not that I don't like doing mock drafts with you, but to hear you guys go back and forth on why you have a player in this certain mock draft, and who knows, maybe I'll just run in and go, nope, there's been a trade, and I'll move trades, maybe put you on your edge a little bit. But
we have received a message from the anonymous Wildcast podcast general manager.
Yeah. Yeah. Austin's like, oh, I'm going to hang up now. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. No, I didn't plan for this, but I think he had good knowledge on, yep. I mean, for a first time guest, you're not quite sure how they're going to be and, mm-hmm. you know, they might be quiet, timid or whatever. Great guess and great knowledge. And in anything he say caught you off guard with any of the top players?
No, not at all. I think his idea of Valdor taking the two Lac Saint Louis guys back to back is genius. You know,
that the Rossi we lost out on? Is that his brother?
That's his younger brother.
Yeah,
yeah. And his younger brother is showing more interest in the Q than Jake. But who cares?
Yeah,
who cares at this point?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, if it ends up like that and Valdor gets one and two, that's a strategy that I would be. You know, as Valdor fans or a Valdor GM, I think would be like, you know what? Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like you've said many times, whether it's Chloe or Sam or Sophie or Marcus, mm-hmm. like, people are going to be tuned into our draft. And they went to a lot of Max games, and like, there's 10 of them in the top 100 they had. Like, it's a good team.
If Valdor gets back to being, if they actually get 1-2, yeah. 1-2. Like, they've been a dog shirt organization for a few years now. And, I mean, that would just take them, you know, fresh out the slammer.
Yeah.
You know, like, that takes them right out of the basement and into a top-tier, again, team within, you know, 2 to 3 years. It's you kind of hope for that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, oh, geez, do you really want to high-end guys to end up in Valdor of all places.
Sure, we don't only play them twice a year, and we don't want them in St. John.
Well, I mean, yeah. Like, but it's that, like, they're super skilled, and two guys with really good chemistry. Like, it's like they will take over the league in 2 to 3 years, right? So it'll be fun to see. But, yeah, draft lottery on Thursday. And
we will not be live for that, by the way.
No, not this time.
Care less.
No, we had a moment to be excited later last year, but
she gone.
He gone.
Yeah, unless All right, let's get to the again. Thanks to Austin for jumping on from Puck Preps. If you guys want to check out any of his stuff, puckpreps.com. There is a subscription fee. So as we get closer to the draft, $14.99 for the month. You'll be in tune with any players that the Wildcats are looking at, including the players he had, which was Isaiah Rogerson, St. John, and I can't remember the other one.
Emilio Santini.
Yeah,
great name.
Yeah, Santini.
I'd take that in a heartbeat. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right.
On X, that's A. Rob Scouting.
Oh, on X,
Austin Robson.
Good call. All right, let's get to the Weekly Rewind.
Weekly Rewind.
Oh, what a couple weeks it's been in the Hub City. Oh, man. So I kind of almost forgot that we didn't talk about this last time we were on because the news came out literally after we were done recording.
Yes, it's true.
Which I had said to you and Layla, when they announced Dan LaCroix will be let go, it'll be the Tuesday after we're done recording. And what happened? Tuesday at about 10:30, April 9th, the Moncton Wildcats and Dan LaCroix have agreed to part ways. I mean, we made our thoughts known on Instagram Live that night, but for those that weren't there, kind of go over it again. For a coach that we applauded and were happy to have because he was getting players 2 years ago during the pandemic, during the rebuild, that whether it was a roster player or a kid that was drafted that was coming up, they were playing the right way. They were playing the system. Everybody was kind of pulling things to go, pulling things in one direction. And, I mean, they almost surprised in that weird New Brunswick tournament thing to a year too long, really.
Yeah, it's a move I think that should have been made last off season.
Yeah,
but I think you know, the man calling the shots kind of wanted to wait till the contract was up before making any moves, and it looked like a genius thing in the first half to hang on to him, And Dan.
yeah. And then and almost to the day.
Dan.
Yeah.
It fell apart like it did the year before.
Almost to the day. Like, yeah. It's creepy how it worked like that. And I cannot help think, and maybe I'm the only one, that if they get rid of them when they should have and take that year, Louis Robitaille is our coach. And who knows what kind of playoff run we're having. Now, we would have had to get Rimouski. Now, we could have been on a roll and handled Chicoutimi like Cape Breton did in round two.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't help but think he was the name that was out there. That could be us right now talking about round three against Baie-Comeau. A lot of things would have to go right. And once you get into what could have and this and what ifs. But it just, optics-wise, I can't help but think that's kind of... we're looking at what we could have been.
Mm-hmm. No,
if he would have been the hire too.
I don't know if Louis Robitaille would be the guy, but it's something to consider, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's one thing I don't like doing, is immediately giving somebody a job after they were fired. Yeah. And Louis Robitaille was fired by Gatineau, but from what looks like a genius hire in Cape Breton so far. So that kind of defeats you know, the purpose of what I said. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, the articles, they say they want a new coach by the draft.
Hope a little earlier than that.
Hopefully a little earlier than that. You know, we got a big hockey tournament coming up this weekend that, we wouldn't mind the new eyes to be on, but I don't think we're going to have one this soon. And, you know, it just seems to be, you know, we get that guy that we really like, and it just ends up not being what we hoped, you know, and it's... I think the next one's a very important hire, whether it's a 1 year one and done, or if it's a multi-year contract extension. We'll see. It's going to be tough. I know there's lots of names out there that are being tossed around.
So speaking of that, I mean, we threw out names 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
One of my guys re-signed, and it wasn't because he was an Oiler. Was Marc-Andre Bergeron as Robert Vierre.
Yep.
He was a power play specialist in the NHL. So I was like, well, if you could bring him on, maybe not as a coach, maybe as one of the assistants. He knows Sean Carrier. He can help get him going.
Yeah.
But I had, the name that I've had since the prospects or coaches were announced, and that's Gerard Gallant. I think he, for me, him, Mike Kelly, and Josh Heptich, that's your perfect one and done catapult to the NHL, and then Josh is there to take over the rebuild. I still think that's where we're going. But do you have any other names that you're kind of thinking?
Well, there's a name I brought up on the show, on our live, and that's Eve Serow. I don't know where that's going. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, he's been coaching in Switzerland for 10 years. He was, you know, relieved of his duties in January. I don't think it was the men's league that he was coaching. I think it was like one level down.
Right.
So, and I know he's got a few connections here to Moncton, and I know, you know, 10 years ago when we were looking for a head coach, he had applied for the job. So, you know, that there was an interest in him at that point. Is that still the case? Not sure. You know, the Ted Nolan thing, I don't think his health is in the right place for that.
No. And I mean, I threw out to you, maybe he's a consultant.
Yeah. Everybody's going to say Ted Nolan because, I mean, what does Mr. Irving like to do more than bring in coaches for another round?
Yeah.
You know, it's my boy, Mr. Irving. You know, my boy only breaks his favorite toys. It's if anything he likes to do is he likes to bring in old coaches just to give them the old heave-ho.
Yeah.
You know, he breaks his favorite toys. And so we'll see. I don't think Ted Nolan is going to be up for it. Gerard Gallant, obviously, that's a possibility. You know, we're seeing some NHL coaching jobs already become available, and you know, it's not his name being linked to them.
Yeah.
But I mean, conspiracy theories. Well, here's one.
Oh boy.
So I think you might have mentioned it earlier. So I don't know if you want to talk about it, about the whole U18s, and or is that going to get in? Going to get into the next conversation?
Get into the next thing.
The next conversation. Okay.
The only other thing I'll start on the coast before we get into the next news. Midgley was let go in Halifax.
Yeah.
I really wish we would have had a coach in place before that, because I feel like we're competing with that. Now, we're closer to a championship.
Oh, they're just going to go hire Dan LaCroix.
In the cycle. So they're starting a rebuild. I mean, the name that you've dropped a couple times from Rwanda, Brad Yetman.
Yeah,
he
so
seems
Brad
like
Yetman,
a target in Halifax.
Yeah, I think it's based on cycle.
Yeah,
and what he was able to do with a young Rwanda team, and to this day I still think he was given the shit end of the stick. I don't think he deserved to be let go. He should still be in Rwanda, and if he was still in Rwanda, the Huskies would still be in the playoffs. That's just I am. Very high on him.
Yeah,
I've spoken highly of him for many, many, many years, and he's, I think he's kind of a perfect fit in Halifax.
Yeah, there wouldn't be bad here either. No. And then obviously the news 9 days later, the bomb was dropped on us. We had somebody reach out about a half an hour before it come out, and we both kind of messaged each other after that and went, no, I haven't heard that. That's not happening.
And then boom.
Yeah. Our general manager and one of our biggest supporters of this podcast, Richie Thibault, has accepted a senior position with JDI. So he will not be back with the Moncton Wildcats. His final day will be May 6th. Now, lots to unpack here. But in terms of the conspiracy, if you listened a little bit earlier, which I know you did because you're still here, Team Canada, U18, finishes on May 5th. So, Richie's last day is May 6th, May 5th. Coach, we've always said, you know, I don't know if Gardner will leave UMB to just be a coach in the queue, but if you give him total autonomy of everything, I think that's the right word, autonomy, I don't know, control, is that enough to get him from UMB to be a coach / GM of the Moncton Wildcats?
Look, when I saw those dates, I was like, it's either just a coincidence or it's the most obvious thing sitting in front of our eyes, you know, and it's, I can't see it happening. I don't know what Mr. McDougal's salary was at UNB.
Yeah.
But if you've been following the news, Mr. Irving found a way to save the Wildcats $250,000.
Yeah.
So
So if you connect this dot over to this dot and then around to this dot.
There's a T here and went across and then there's an I. You dot it.
There's a T on the savings and a dot on the dates. Yeah. So
there's connections. There's conspiracies.
And then I got one other one that I brought to you.
How did it end? How did it end this way? Is what I need to know, or is what I want to know. The coaching move I saw coming from a miles away, like guilty as sin.
Yeah.
Right. This one about a rare, this move was about as rare as the albatross in golf, you know,
which is quite rare. Never had one.
Yeah. It's, you shoot a two on a par five.
Yeah.
This is about as unexpected as you can think. Saw the moves and you're like, oh, I hate it here.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't know if Mr. Irving's written the prophecy on what's going to come down this year, but I mean, I told you before we started recording this, when I found that out on, I think it was Thursday. It was a Thursday at about 10:30. For a good 45 minutes, I couldn't do a lot of work. Yeah. I could not focus, whether it was people messaging me, I hope they are not listening to this, or talking to you, or just flat out being heartbroken. Like we said, as much as Michelle validated us as a show for the first 5 years, and especially that first year, Richie validated us.
Yep.
Richie was there helping us. He was in studio for a draft episode. We usually had him pre and post draft for the first couple of years when he was kind of before he took over the full reins. He was always gracious with his time, always gracious with the amount of info he could share with us. I don't understand it. And, you know, you go back to my, if Mr. Irving is hashtag committed to win and we let go of Lacroix last off season, maybe we have Robitaille or some other coach that gets this team winning. Maybe they're still winning. Like, Chicoutimi did a number on this organization. And I just don't understand the timing of the GM. Because this is a massive offseason for this hockey club.
Yeah, it really is.
On the ice, off the ice. And, you know, you had said to me when I dropped the McDougal dates, not sure on his GM experience. So I waited a couple of days and I came up with another conspiracy for you in terms of Gerard Gallant as the general manager, his son-in-law. Happens to live in PEI, happens to be a former coach of the Moncton Wildcats or assistant coach in Darryl Boyce. So you've got Boyce, Tessier, Heptich, Gallant up top. I mean, for a guy that loves his former players and his former coaches, that is a coaching. And Steve Bernier, that is a coaching staff of players that had success in this organization.
When Darryl Boyce was let go.
Yeah. Was he let go or did he step down for his company? Now he's got that company.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know if he'll come back, but you put those dots together. Gallant's got the experience as a general manager, maybe in the queue more than Gardner. So that was my other.
When Darryl Boyce left, let's say when he left,
yeah.
Do you think Mr. Irving looked him in the eye and said, you know, one day I'm going to get you back?
Doubt it. But it's just out there. The fact we're going to a draft in 6 weeks. And I mean, if this is a time, didn't you tell me that Mr. Irving used to come out with plans and they took a full ad out when they were absolutely dog shit in 16-17 where they said, this is going to be our plan. We're going to rebuild. We're falling for Alexis Lafreniere. That needs to come out. And I know you know, nobody really reads the paper anymore, but there needs to be a plan because all I've heard from fans is, I don't know what the plan is. Are we going cup or bust this year? Mm-hmm. Are we pushing back maybe the cup another year for Denoyer and Carrier's 19-year-old season? Like, there's no plan. And if you look at what Richie has been building from the COVID year, he's been building for this year, and I don't know what the new plan is. And I think that's the scariest part. The coach, whatever, find a coach that helps you win. The general manager putting a plan together, and from all things we've read from Kevin Barrett, they're looking for two people to be like, they're not looking for the coach GM type gig.
No, you're right. There was an interesting exchange. I can't say it was interesting because I didn't see it personally. Right. But just the way it was written by Kevin Barrett leads me to believe that there was he tried to press Mr. Irving on whether it would be a one-man show or two guys getting their own separate position, and Mr. Irving led. Basically said,
Leafs scored.
Oh, that's the game already on.
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder what's going on there.
Yeah, watching the Leafs and the Bruins. For those that don't know, we record on Mondays.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. No, it's I'd have to find the exact quote, but it was it almost as if it made it seem like the plan was to, you know, have a head coach and a GM, but two separate, you know, two separate positions. So let me see what he said. It might be at the bottom here.
That's kind of why I was leading. That's why the two conspiracies of.
I feel confident we will hire the right person to carry on that work. Meaning Richie's position.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we do have our scouting staff, and they are getting prepared as well. We will have someone oversee the hockey operations side, and of course, the coaching side. He said, adding, "That's right," when asked if that meant two people. So, it's as if Mr. Irving doesn't want to go down the whole head coach and GM route. He wants two different people for the job.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just, I guess we wait till May 6th, and hopefully in and around that day we'll have an answer, at least for the general manager. I think you want to get one of those before you get a head coach, and allow him to help pick. Most organizations would do that. This organization runs on its own way of doing things, but yeah, I just gutted for Richie, like, yeah. and this show, what he and Michelle were able to do to validate us and help us out here the past seven seasons, we can't thank him enough.
And
Tebow, we trust, is gone, so it's just it's gonna be so weird to go to the draft and not see him at the table and not see him around, and you know,
I think he'll still be there.
Yeah, I think we will too, but you know what I mean in terms of leading the group and showing up on our live. And
yeah.
How do you guys like that? Oh, we're live. All right. go right into his GM talk. So, but yeah, a lot to unpack. And like I said, there needs to be some sort of plan put out by Mr. Irving in terms of what the plan is. Are we still cup or bust? Or are we pushing this thing back like Shakutami for at least one more year? I don't think they're doing that. I don't think that would be smart to do that, but when you look at the division, you've got Cape Breton's only going to get better, and they've got stability. Shakutami's going to be that much better with stability. Rimouski's hosting the cup. They're going to be better with stability. Wildcats should be better, but what's the stability of the organization? And I don't think I would push it back a year. You? To kind of build around that 19-year-old for Denoyer? Is that a worry fans should have?
I think at the end of the day, the fans are going to be expecting a more competitive team next year. And, you know, I think there's, like, we had a few people come to us and say, you know, we're not going to be renewing our season tickets if Dan Lacroix is still behind the bench. Well, you know, he's not behind the bench, so, you know, let's go.
Yeah.
I think it would be the wrong thing to take the team back. And it makes you wonder if this is kind of part of the reason as to why this happened. You know, Richie wants a championship. You know, Mr. Irving wants a championship. But at the end of the day, if one of them disagrees with the other one, it's
yeah, the one signing the paycheck
not gonna
wins.
Be pretty.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get into our season grades. The forward group, kind of as a whole. I don't want to do lines because at the end of the year they changed so much, but I mean, on a whole, the forward group was like, it's really tough to give them like a B because they started out B plus style. And then, I mean, injuries and, you know, mixing guys around, and they kind of went down to a C minus in that final month of the season where nobody could really score. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were certain lines that played well together that, honestly, at one point, I was putting our top six up against any top six in the league, in Loesching, Mercier, Denoyer, and the MCL line. I don't want to say it all kind of fell apart when the MCL line started to split, but it kind of felt like that. So I think when I look at the forward group 5-on-5, I think you're probably at a C plus, like just on a whole year, just over the mid threshold.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I would have actually put them a little higher than a B plus in the first half, but then, you know, the second half came around and the playoffs came around, and you know your top guys became virtually invisible, and it really faltered, and there was nothing done to change the way that they came to play every night or what they would do on a given shift and all this other stuff. So it was, I mean, if you want to look at the season as a whole, the forward group, I'd probably give them a C plus in that area there. Like it's tough to even say anything better than that. It was very, very strong in the first half and then just a crash.
Yeah. And it's tough to grade your forwards when, you know, things aren't working and no changes are being made.
Yeah.
And I don't mean changes as in the trade deadline, because they were tied with Halifax like 2 weeks after the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So it all went downhill from there. You look at the power play. I mean, it's pretty tough to knock it. I mean, I'm going to give it a B minus because it was the number one power play in the league, but it was stagnant. Yep. All year, and the final month, teams just figured out, go stand on that dot, and the guys hitting the one-timers, you'll just block them. And that's, they couldn't adjust. And I think that's why whoever the next coach is or assistants, they got to bring someone in that's got a little bit of something for the power play, because, like I said, I think that's a B plus. And I think the penalty killing is probably just a C. I mean, it let them down near the end of the year, and, you know, it's tough to gauge the group when the coach wasn't doing anything to kind of motivate him or get him going.
No, you're right. And there's, I mean, look at number 28 there. I mean, I thought for sure he was going to have 50 goals in the season.
Yeah.
Given how well he played in the first half, and it came, and then it just, like, it's like you said, the teams just saw it coming. They knew where the puck was going, and they just started getting down and blocking shots and bruising their bodies. So you're right. Whoever comes on board, it's, I think you got to pull him aside and say, you know, I can fix him.
Yeah.
You know, it's, that's nothing against him. It's, I just think there was no, nothing was done. Like there was, I guaranteed he wasn't pulled aside during practice and say, oh, let's try this instead.
Yeah.
You know, there was absolutely nothing. It was just the same stuff over and over and over again.
Yep. I mean, I know that Stamkos and Ovechkin have made a killing standing from the dot and ripping pucks, but the other four guys are moving the puck around, and movement was stagnant for the whole group. And, you know, have a look at the Oilers, have a look at the Avalanche, have a look at Tampa, Boston. I mean, their power plays, they are moving all the time, especially the Oilers. If Loesching can play like Draisaitl where he gets lost and then pops out for that one T, this has the ability to be a very dynamic power play again.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I would take a seventh-ranked power play to have a power play that scores when it's a five-minute, they put two pucks in the net to change the momentum, or they're down a goal, they get a late power play, and bang, it's in the net. It's a tie hockey game. Mm-hmm. I'll take seventh, eighth, ninth power play in the league to have those when they count.
Yep. No, I agree. And it's just like, then you get a look at, you know, the playing time of the bottom, you know, Sean Carrier. And that was an issue all season.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, that was, like, you got to look. Like, he's a sixth overall pick, deserves the ice time, and he's just like, you know, who's afraid of little old me?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The answer, Dan Lacroix.
Yeah.
Just didn't want to give him his opportunities, and I think if there's anybody that's smiling in the off season, it's Sean Carrier.
Yeah, it's
because he knows he's coming here next year, gonna be playing a lot more than fourth line.
Yeah, he's I mean, OJ likely is the 20, in a numbers game. It's unfortunate.
Odd man. Yeah,
yeah.
Odd I man mean, out. We'll see. We're yeah. not saying that, no. But
depending what the
if the team wants to take a step back, sure.
But that's a spot that Carrier could easily just slide right into, mm-hmm. and he doesn't have to play top line. But even if he moves to that third line and gets some more ice time, gets in some more spots, is allowed to make a mistake.
Yep.
That was the biggest part. But again, the bottom six, it will like this team will look different next year.
Oh, very much differently.
And as much as it sucks that Richie is no longer with the organization, that trade with Halifax is still marked because you can't just go back on trades. We're the prime example with Halifax of that.
And you got to wonder if that's a part of the reason why he's still working until May the 6th.
Yeah.
Because they're hoping there's a new boss, there's a new GM that says, okay, here's the deal. This, and this, and this, and this for this, and this, and this. Now the team's yours.
Yeah.
You know, like there's got to be some sort of communication here to make sure that what we were, I wouldn't say promised, but
what was in the works.
Yeah, exactly. Because you look at, I mean, the Ty Higgins trade to ruin Aranda. The player coming back to Bathurst at the draft was contingent on how far Ruin Aranda went in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
So let's say Ruin Aranda made it all the way to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Carr would be the defenseman coming from Rouen to Bathurst at the draft.
Oh, okay.
But because they were eliminated in the second round, Bathurst is getting a Francois-James Bouteau.
Yeah.
So they're getting, a better defenseman because the Huskies didn't do as well as expected.
Hmm.
So there's maybe
something like that.
Because the Mooseheads didn't do as well as expected, we're getting a sweeter piece of the pot.
Return. Yeah, yeah.
Right? So that's something to keep an eye on.
And that's, again, might not be the only team that deal has worked out. And so he's got some files that he's working on. But this team will look a little bit different. Top six, bottom six.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to split it that way, I didn't mind a lot from the bottom six. Riley Sampson, Cooper Cormier, Glass. Glass took a little longer than I thought he might. But, Jack Hain got in, got his first goal. I know a lot of the fans couldn't kind of figure that out in terms of getting ahead of Sampson or Cormier or whatever. But it's just when a guy is playing well, you kind of keep him going. And he was showing out, and he had some good games when he played for him. I was going to ask you about the prospects before we started recording on what we have coming in the pipeline. I don't know if you know offhand, but I think the pipeline's not too bad in terms of prospects as the same. I mean, Easton Schlenders should be competing for a spot next year. Tristan
Langlois.
I knew it was an L.
He's a project.
Yep.
Ben
there
Lindsay.
Are some players. Yep.
Yeah. Ben Lindsay.
Maybe not next year, but at least the year after. We've got some good prospects in and the draft. who knows what it looks like for
No, for sure. I think like Easton Schlender can, you know, probably get himself a spot on the team next year. I think he had a good enough season with the Max to earn that spot, and he's kind of your prototypical, you know, fourth liner. I think he'd play the role extremely well.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about the defenseman. You know, I don't know if there's going to be room on the roster next year for a 17-year-old defenseman who played midget AAA. That's to be determined. But, no, there's I wish the pipeline was better. But I guess you got to go with what you got.
Yep. Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, that's it for us. Off-season episode number two is over. We'll give you a little bit of news on terms of this podcast. I teased it last week saying we could have something special for the draft. It's not only going to be that next year. We're taking our talents to Florida. I'm just kidding. We're going to be on Rogers TV each and every week. You'll be able to see these beautiful faces on your big screen TVs. Nothing in the show changes.
High definition.
Yeah, other than high definition. You'll still be able to find us on YouTube if you don't have Rogers TV. But if you do have Rogers TV, we will be going to there each and every week. I'm just not sure. We're still working on that, but I can tell you we will be moving to Rogers
TV.
If
you don't have Rogers TV.
I know a guy. but yeah, that's it. We got some excellent Eastern and Western Conference final hockey in the queue as well as the other leagues. But yeah, that's kind of it. I guess I'll see you soon.
When's the next, when are we doing this again there?
We are doing this again in 2 weeks.
May the 6th.
For
releasing on May the 8th. May the 8th be with you.
Yeah, you have an excellent May the 4th be with you. For Jeremy, I'm Adam. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.